Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on the Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM. Joe and
All right, 204 on the Fan, and a very good Friday afternoon to you. Benigno and Roberts in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. We'll hit a 6:30 today, and then we will have the Odds on Sports Show with JJ. Then we'll take you out to Fenway as the Yankees open up a weekend series with the Red Sox. Tommy Lugauer in Manhattan, Ernie Acosta somewhere in Yonkers. We're live from the Town Fair Tire studio where nobody. And nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody, bro. How are you?
Bro, I'm doing all
right. Yeah, right after the very difficult Islander loss.
That was a very surreal night because I don't know how many people are watching both the Islanders and the Mets. You know, you had the football last night, you had the Yankees. But the game-ending goal by Cirelli happens when it's like ninth inning in
right.
The Mets-Phillies
game. Edwin Diaz is making us sweat it out.
Right, so I know one thing has nothing to do with the other whatsoever, but because of the way the Islanders lost, it made me just assume Edwin Diaz was going to melt down
right,
in the ninth inning.
Right, right. Well,
and
he tried.
Luckily, he tried. He made it interesting.
And I tell you, just going back to the Met game, I mean, I don't know where Rojas was going after that.
No, I don't know
anybody
either.
Up in the bullpen. I mean, I don't know where he was going.
He had Miguel Castro.
Was he
up?
Was Castro up at some eventually?
Yeah,
I didn't notice that.
He may have made the move at some point, but.
Well.
Let me start with this about this Islander team. One of the main reasons they were able to make this incredible run, a very surprising run that they were able to put together, is because they got healthy during the break. And one of the guys that got healthy was Adam Pellick. And he was outstanding. He was very instrumental in the run they went on. And we find out before last night's game that he wasn't going to play, which was a monstrous blow right out of the gate. We find out after the game that basically the guy broke his wrist. And, Joe, he played through it for a majority of game number five.
Well.
So let me just start off by saying Adam Pellick is one of the main reasons the Islanders even got the game six of the Eastern Conference Finals. And he is the definition of a hockey player because of the fact that he played through that for the majority of game five.
God bless him.
I feel like a sucker because it was deja vu all over again. This time it was Andy Green with the high stick on Kucherov.
By the way, can I just say it is too bad Adam Pellick doesn't play for the Jets because maybe he'd actually play.
You know? He'd play through it.
You know what I mean?
I understand. They got their issues, which we'll get to. No Jamison Crowder.
Issues.
But I really believe this happened, and I think the Islanders believed it too. When Andy Green commits the high stick, and they're checking Kucherov to see if there's blood, because that's the key. If there's blood, 2-minute power play standard.
Yeah.
If there is blood, double minor. I think Kucherov was trying to make himself bleed. And I think the Islanders knew that. That was what he was trying to do.
Maybe he had like a razor in his back pocket or something.
Yeah, like
just in case he needed it quickly.
The old wrestling pole, the Ric Flair move of the 80s. But when they killed off that double minor in almost the exact same situation as game five, and the way they controlled play, Joe, most of the third period and had so many scoring opportunities, I thought they were going to win this hockey game. I really did. I thought they were going to force a game seven. And unfortunately, Sorelli had that game winner. I forget the guy who made the pass, a perfect pass from behind the net.
Yep.
And it ends, and it's very disappointing. I understand it was a great year. It was a great run, blah, 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 blah. Great management, blah. They'll be back next year, blah. I get all that, all right? I understand it.
New arena in a couple of years, too.
New arena, great. That's fantastic. In the moment, you want to win.
Yeah.
And you don't know. You don't know, as optimistic as you may be, that you're going to be back there.
You don't know. But that's the next move for them is to win now. Now they got to win. I mean, they had a nice run. Didn't quite get to the championship round, but, you know, we know how good they are. They're good. I mean, this is a good team. You know, they certainly are now, as you go forward, they're a playoff-tested team going forward. No doubt about it. So, but you're right. I mean, you had an opportunity here, and it didn't work. You know, if they never played overtime, maybe the Islanders win the cup because overtimes were not kind to them in these playoffs.
No, you're right. You're right. You're 100% right. And I know because of not only Islander history, but NHL history, that sometimes you need to lose before you can win.
I think that's in a lot of sports we could probably say that about.
No, you're right. You're right. And I think the birth of the Islander dynasty was about that. So I think it probably registers even more.
How many brutal losses did they have before they finally broke through?
100%.
You know, I mean, I remember, you know, they lost in 78. They lost to the Maple Leafs, 79, that brutal series with to JD and the Rangers. You know, so it took a little time before they got to where they needed to go.
You're right. It's just it's not easy to get back to where they were. And there is some uncertainty. Now, the goaltender Varlamov was tremendous. The future is obviously Sorokin, who was on a roster spot during this run and should take over. Maybe not next year, but the year after. Matty Martin has to come back. I mean,
no question.
This guy was
have
the
to bring
heart.
Matt Martin back.
Absolutely. And I assume he wants to stay. You know, we all know the deal with Matt Martin. You know, so, of course, he'd want to stay, I would think. And I think they need him back. I think he was the heart of the team. I think he was one of their best players during this entire run. He had some scoring opportunities in this game, too.
Yeah. Yep.
But it was difficult last night. And I understand that the attitude is going to be, hey, it was a great run. It was a lot of fun. All that's true. But I've seen it too many times, Joe. You've seen it too many times. Where you get close and you say, oh, don't worry, we'll be back, and you never sniff it again.
Yeah. Or, you know, you could sniff it a few times and not get there either. I mean, we saw what the Rangers did. You know, they sniffed it a number of times and really could, you know, they got to the finals only one time, never really could get over the hump all the playoff rounds they won during the Henrik Lundqvist era.
That's why when you're this close, no matter what the expectations are.
So with the Knicks and the Patrick Ewing era, too. I mean, how much pain 100%. Was there? They never got over the hump. So.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot with the teams I root for where I get like two cracks at it. I saw it with the Mets in 99-2000. I saw it with the Nets in 02-03. And they had some good years after that, but those were the two finals years. We clearly saw it with the Jets in 9-10.
Right.
So, look, I don't know what this team is going to be next year. I am confident because of how capable their management is and the good young nucleus they have. How good was Pageau during this run? And they've got him signed long term.
Yep.
But it was tough. It's a tough way to lose. And other than game one. All right, throw game one out, they got killed. All right.
Game two was a killer. I mean, you look at game two, maybe even worse than the overtime losses with that game. Because, you know, you won one and you lose with like 5-6 seconds, whatever it was left in the game.
7 seconds left with Kucherov.
Yep. Right.
There was a lot of opportunities throughout this series. And there were a lot of opportunities last night. Especially, like I said, when they kill off the double minor again. It was surreal when that got called again. Thinking two straight games.
Yeah.
I think both times the timing was exactly the same. Ending regulation, bleeding over to overtime. And they do it without Pelech. I mean, think about that. So I really, and I tweeted it, and I'm sure I got a lot of crap for saying it, but I said if they kill this, they're going to win. And you know what? I'm a sucker. What can I tell you? It happens a lot. I really believed it, and unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. And how about that Brock Nelson opportunity shorthanded?
Oh, my God. I know. Well, you know, he had a real shot at it. You know, give their goal. He's good. You know, give the guy. He's terrific. So.
Look, and the Lightning are a tremendous team. I mean, Victor Hedman has to be one of the best players
Victor
in the world.
Victor Hedman. I mean, look, I don't know, hockey like the other sports, you know, I'm not watching guys in the Western Conference, you know, I mean, but there can't be many players in hockey better than Victor Hedman. I mean,
he's outstanding.
How many times did he, in this series alone, answer an Islander goal with a goal? How many times did he do it?
Seemed like every time.
Every game.
Because if I'm not mistaken, I think the Islanders scored the first goal just about every single game since game one.
Right.
I mean, they were
I think
every
four
single
times
game.
He answered an Islander goal with a goal.
Yeah.
Hedman, I think
and
four
they,
times.
And they answered it quickly
of
the time, too.
Most of the time, yep.
But season comes to a close, and good luck to the Tampa Bay Lightning because I ain't going to be watching. All right, so good luck in the Stanley Cup Final. I have no interest.
No, I understand.
Sorry, I'm done. I'm out. Which is usually the case when my team loses.
No, of course. Right, I mean, no, that is definitely true. But then you had the Mets, and somehow Diaz held on. Somehow McCutcheon granted, you know, hit into a force out somehow.
Well,
how about the
only...
fact. Speaking of Mets, can I say this?
Yes.
How much money could we have won if we bet that their two best pitchers don't even in these two games get into the third inning? Neither of them makes the third inning, and they win both of these games.
It's stunning. 3 2/3 innings, 9 runs from DeGrom and Lugo. But
unbelievable.
I got to go back to a specific part of this game.
I mean, that was batting. What was
brutal. He was brutal after the Mets handed him.
I mean, that was like batting practice, what they were doing to him.
No doubt about it. I mean, the guy gives up 4 home runs, the back-to-back-to-back home runs, and even the Segura triple was pretty close to getting out.
Oh, he could have gave up 6 last. He came within inches of giving up 6 home runs last night.
No doubt about it. And give Erasmo Ramirez credit. He's done a very good job when he's been called upon in these situations.
The bullpen saved him. 7 1/3 scoreless innings? Are you kidding me?
I got to go back to one specific moment in this game. I'm going to give you the moment of the game, okay? It's the 8th inning. It's a tie game. Great. Mets have tied it. Fantastic.
Right.
Justin Wilson has nothing. He can't throw a strike. Okay.
Nothing.
He walks Bryce Harper on 4 pitches. He falls behind Alec Boehm, gets back, makes it 3-2, walks him. Those are the first 2 pitches out of the strike zone to Didi Gregorius. And then something happened. Dominic Smith went to the mound. I have no idea what he said. I don't care what he said. He may have said something hilarious that had nothing to do with baseball. But it was noticeable. I noticed it. Keith mentioned it.
Right.
And I thought back to the time where there was no sports, and we had, I think, Keith Hernandez on, and we were talking about
when he goes up to
moments.
Jesse Roscoe in Game 6 in Houston.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I thought about that, and I said, I don't know what Dom said, but I'm very curious.
Right.
He probably said what Keith said on the broadcast, and it was the same thing I was thinking. You know what, Justin? Throw the ball down the middle. If the guy hits a grand slam, that stinks. We move on. You cannot walk him. You can't walk 3 straight guys.
Right.
Just
right.
put it in play.
Yep.
Let's see what happens.
Yep.
The very next pitch, Didi Gregorius pops it up the center field. So, look, we could sit here all day and talk about Dom Smith, the bat. He did have that RBI triple in the 9th inning and the RBI double in the 1st.
Yeah, we have 3 hits again last night. How good has Dom Smith been?
He's been amazing.
God.
But in a weird way, Joe, that moment was his moment because he said something. I don't know what he said, but I'm giving him a lot of credit for saying something into the ear of Justin Wilson that calmed him down. They got that. Because there was no way, forget Diaz in the 9th inning, there was no way I thought Wilson was getting through that 8th inning.
No.
No way.
No. I agree, bro. Look, no way did I ever think they were winning this game, even when they tied the game up. So I got to, you know, I just never thought. I know the Philly bullpen is brutal. We know that. But I never thought the Met bullpen was going to hold up. And they did manage to do it. You know, I'll tell you something, too. We better hope, as much as you hate the DH in the National League.
Don't start.
You better hope there is, because otherwise, Pete Alonso, Dominic Smith's got to be the first baseman, bro. I mean, I think going into next year, I think we got to look at this and state the obvious, which is Dominic Smith's the first baseman on his team.
It's hard to dispute that.
That's something that's going to be a big question going into next year. It would behoove them. The Mets would be better off with the DH, I hate to say.
I will never argue that point because I can't argue that point. The Mets would be better off with the DH. You're right. I'm not going to argue that. It always comes down to, and I understand where you stand on this and where maybe a lot of Met fans stand, I always try to put what I love about the sport above my individual team. And I know this example doesn't work in football, but the way I would kind of turn it around is if this is like the worst comparison ever, but like, the Jets would benefit from these rules the NFL is creating to kind of maximize offense and take away tackling. What would you want? Would you want the thing that benefits the team or the thing that you enjoy most about the sport you love? You know what I mean? I know that's not the greatest.
There's 7 playoff teams, but that's not going to really benefit them.
Right.
They got no chance.
No, I know.
They could have 12 playoff teams and they wouldn't make it.
No, you're right. You're right. No, you're obviously right that the Mets would benefit from a DH, but
they would.
I'll worry about that.
That's going to be a dilemma, bro. If there's no DH, I mean, what happens? What are they going to do? Is Dom going to be the left fielder? I guess he's going to have to play left field, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably the answer.
Yeah,
I think the answer is he probably does play left field.
Right.
And if Pete doesn't hit, Dom shifts over and plays a lot of first base, and Pete doesn't play.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, Pete did hit a home run last night, which was nice to see.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem with Pete Alonso this season is it's been very start and go. There are these moments where you think he's getting out of it, and then he'll go 0 for his next 11 and strike out half the time.
Yeah.
So it's tough to know when Pete is coming out of it, but Dom has had a really, really good season. Give major credit to Brandon Nimmo, who obviously hit the game-winning home run and admired it, yep. Which I loved.
Oh, man. Well, why not? I mean, he crushed it.
Yes.
Robbie's too. Robbie admired that one, too, when he hit two in the ninth inning there.
It's funny.
Curveball.
I always say that Nimmo and Aaron Hicks are very similar players, and when Nimmo hit that home run, he reminded me of Hicks because Aaron Hicks has that Ken Griffey Jr. pause,
right.
Nimmo did that. But look, it was a great victory, and you know what? We said the same thing yesterday. We'll say it again today. They got to keep winning. It's great, but they got to keep winning.
Got to keep winning. It's not easy. You couldn't have two worse teams to play here now with Atlanta and Tampa. I mean, you know, it's two pretty. Especially the Braves, who just give the Mets so much trouble.
Look, it's very, very stiff competition. There's no doubt. They got to basically win every single day. And the Yankees are just a continuing story of hitting home runs and pounding their opponent and really destroying the Blue Jays over these 3 days. It's amazing what they did to them.
The Yankees have gone from, oh, my God, what's wrong with the Yankees, to now the clear-cut favorite to win the pennant in the American League again, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it feels that way.
Right?
Despite how well the White Sox have played, I don't want to take anything away from them.
Right.
But just seeing the Yankees get healthy, and I thought what was the biggest thing from last night was Giancarlo Stanton. You know,
of course.
When they've pounded over the last few days, Judge and Stanton weren't really a part of it. They were in the lineup. They were back, which is great. But it was mostly the DJ show, Luke Voit, Higashioka a couple days ago. I thought yesterday what was really encouraging of your Yankee fan is seeing Giancarlo hit that bomb of a home run, have four hits. Yeah. You know, DJ continues to be great.
Oh,
Luke Voit continues to be great.
Oh, God.
Glaber hit one out, which is nice to see.
And
five
then
Gary
and one
Sanchez.
Inning, bro. That's ridiculous. 5-1 inning.
Crazy, man. And Gary Sanchez raised his average to 145, his first multi-hit game of the season, which is tough to believe.
Well, he had to jack it up because of what Hiroshikawa did the night before.
That's right.
With the Reggie Jackson-like performance, you know.
Yeah, the only negative was Jonathan Holder stinking in the ninth inning to the point where Chapman had to come in. But the Yankees send the message, and they're in very good shape now to get that second-place berth, which is really just about getting home field advantage if you think that matters in the first round and the positioning of who you play. They still have four more games with the Blue Jays, but they have opened up a 2.5-game lead, and they certainly sent the message that they are, as you said right now, when healthy, the team to beat in the American League, just like we thought going into the season.
And they want to play home. You know, the Yankees want to be in the stadium. I mean, you saw it last night. I mean, the ball jumps out of there, and they can do significant damage playing at home. I understand it's only going to be the first round, that best of three.
Right.
But – and that doesn't mean they can't go bash somewhere in Minnesota or Chicago or wherever they would play. Who knows? But Tampa. But you want to play home. You really do.
Sure. A lot of football today here on a Football Friday, which we'll get to as the show rolls on. Carl Banks to preview Giants-Bears. Brian Costello on the Jets, who continue to be incredibly
banged up. Is anybody playing?
I mean, Sam's going to play.
They have no chance in this game. I mean, they got no players. They got no shot against
them. Michael Piron may play.
Yeah, great.
Chris Hogan's going to play.
Who is?
Chris Hogan's going to play.
I know the Niners are banged up. Chris Hogan.
Well, I'm just saying there are going to be guys playing. They're not
Rashad Perriman, he's good.
He's playing.
Is Herndon playing? He can fumble again. Herndon can come up and have another big fumble to kill him.
But wait a second. You've seen this story so many times before. Can't you see them winning this game now?
No, I don't. I absolutely don't.
I mean, I don't either,
Niners coming off a brutal home loss to the Cardinals. I don't care who's hurt. I just, Richard Sherman's hurt, George Kittle's hurt, I get all of that. I just don't see it. Do you see it?
No, I don't see it. And you know what really ticked me off thinking about this, and it was actually tweeted out. Let me give the guy some love. I like to. Jeffrey Ballone of Nick Film School. So he's a Nick fan. See, I like
Nick fans.
Lucky him. And he said, the worst part about this is it sets up another week of excuses for Adam Gase.
Of course.
And and it's true.
There's no doubt about it. 100%. That's a great line because he's 100% right.
It's true. He's right.
Another week of excuses. Well, we didn't have this guy. We didn't have that guy. Yada, 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 yada.
Right? And what we'll also hear, Joe, you know, guys, it's only been 18 games.
Yeah, we'll hear that too.
We'll hear that as well.
And believe me, you know how I feel about going. I can't root against my team, but the knockout pick this week is the Niners. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't know how you don't pick them. Now you could say whatever you want on if they're flying 3 hours. We all know about that West Coast to East Coast stuff, but you know that applies if you're playing like Pittsburgh or if you're playing like Baltimore or if you're playing like the Patriots. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even if you're playing maybe Buffalo, You know, I mean, you know, that stuff applies if you're playing those kind of teams. You know what I mean?
May not necessarily apply when you're taking on the Michael Piron built offense or Frank Gore and the New York Jets.
No.
Well, we'll talk to Costello coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Ian Rappaport, who joins us every Friday, will make our NFL picks. We're on for an extra half hour today till 6:30. We'll come back. We'll get your calls on the Islanders, the Yankees, the Mets, whatever you want. 877-337-6666. Benigno and Roberts on a Football Friday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.